brother and sister Southward for that fine rendition of an old favorite of ours. We have some announced privilege of hearing Brother Fowler from Los Angeles, California. I remember some time ago when I was just becoming interested in the truth of seeing Brother Fowler's picture in the old Bible student news. I often wondered what it was like to listen to him. I'm going to find out this morning. He's going to speak to us on God's secret place.
So first, we have loads of love to bring on the way. We're going to discuss with you this morning this thought of the secret place. We're going to take for the basis of our remarks the 91st Psalm. I believe that this is a psalm that a great many of the Lord's people down through the age have learned by heart because it applies especially to the happy state of the godly. Reading, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what is the secret place of the Most High? We would say that it's the place of consecration, communion, and fellowship with the Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus. This 91st Psalm, we believe, has a primary fulfillment in our Lord Jesus. And in a secondary sense, in all of his followers. This is illustrated in your tabernacle study. The secret place, we would think, would represent the holy of the tabernacle. Only the Spirit begotten, we remember, are represented there. And this would be represented by the secret place, the Most High. Those, as we said before, that have made a consecration, those who have had communion with the Lord, been spirit begotten, and have his special providential care over their lives. Then there's another thought here. The Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is the shadow of the Almighty? Well, we think, of course, that this represents especially his providential overruling. But how is this illustrated in connection with the tabernacle? Well, you remember that there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This abode constantly over the tabernacle. So if we bear in mind the thought that this class are represented as new creatures, and the holy, we can see how the shadow, the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night. So day and night, at all times, God's providential ruling are over his people, working out for their best welfare as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now if we can bear that always in mind, it will help us through our trials, through our difficulties, to recognize that whatever comes to us is not haphazard, but it instead only those things which will be for our best benefit as new creatures will happen to us. So we would say then in connection with this 91st Psalm, it applies to the new creature and not necessarily to the flesh. Then, our Lord Jesus speaking, as well as his followers, says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. My refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now we trust that each one of you this morning that has made a consecration can say this, of the Lord, Jehovah. He is my refuge. Yes, We go to Him in our trouble, and He's a place of refuge. And He's our fortress. Yes, He's our fortress in the sense that He protects us from all that would do harm to us as new creatures. And indeed, He is our God. Now that's easy to say, friends. But this must be the practice of our lives. Do we have any other gods? You remember the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I can imagine you saying, why, I don't worship sticks and stones. That's true. Today, the Lord's people are not so apt to worship sticks and stones as they did possibly in times past, and especially with those who had come out of the world in which they had worshipped other gods. But let us ask ourselves, what is a God? Well, a God is a mighty one. And we recognize that Jehovah is the Almighty. Well, do we allow ourselves to worship? Well, someone may say, I worship the Lord Jesus. That's true, because as our Master has said, no one knows the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever he revealeth him. So it's very proper that we worship the Father, and then the Lord Jesus, and the Apostle Paul, you remember, stated that so beautifully. All things are of the Father and by the Son. But is that all we worship? Some, you know, worship leaders. That's something that we should be very careful. Now, while we appreciate the leaders, and all the Lord's people should appreciate the leaders, inasmuch as they have led us in the proper way, but we should never worship the leader. Instead, we should appreciate them on account of their work's sake and the help that they've given us, but never let them take the place of a God or one that would be worshipped. Then again, maybe we worship our family. Some do, you know. Again, you remember what Jesus said, whosoever loveth father, mother, brother, wife, or children more than me is not worthy of me. And then, some, while they don't worship sticks and stone, they do worship gold. Yes. Some have made gold their God. Again, we can see. So I would say that anything that takes a place in our life that God should have is an idol, and therefore we would not be worshiping. He would not be our God, because He doesn't want any competition in our lives. He should have first place always. But let's go on. He's not only our God, but in Him do we trust. Are we trusting in Him implicitly? Now that again is easy to say. But how about our lives? Do we give indication that we're trusting in Him? Are we so living that it shows to others that He is our God and that we trust in Him? Now it says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. What is the snare of the fowler? Well, we believe that the fowler here represented is Satan himself. So the Lord will deliver us from all the snares of Satan. And He has many snares, depending upon our experience and how long we've been in the truth and so forth and so on. He gives special attention, remember, not to the world in general. He already has the world. But he's after the Lord's people. And he's trying by every means possible to ensnare us. Yes, he tries this way and that way. One of the ways he's endeavoring to snare the people is to get them to go to the opposite extreme. You see, the truth is usually in the middle ground. So, once we have understood something concerning the truth, well, then he attempts this to demand that everyone's going to be saved. Nobody's going to be lost. Why, in fact, the devil himself's going to be saved. Yes, you see, he has certain snares for certain occasions, and all the way along. But here it says, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Again, we see how necessary it is that we put our trust in our God. It says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Now, what is the noise and pestilence? Well, there's a couple of thoughts along that line. The pestilence of immorality as well as the pestilence of spiritual darkness. First, someone says, why, we wouldn't think of being immoral. Well, let us remember that we're dealing with the flesh, friends, and the scriptures tells us about the flesh, and speaking of the natural heart, it says it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, I didn't make that up. That's what the Lord said. And that's my flesh, that's your flesh. And let us always remember that. And therefore, the Apostle Paul has said, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. The two are contrary, one to the other. And let's not be deceived, it will be that way to the very end of our lives. Are we keeping the flesh under? If we don't, the flesh will put us under spiritually. And what will happen to us, friends? The new creature will cease to exist. And then, with our natural death, we will cease to exist. So we see the importance of these thoughts. Then, how about the spiritual pestilence? Well, we have all about us in the land. Christian Science, Theosophy, New Thought. So far we've been, someone might say, well, that wouldn't be any temptation to me, Christian Science. I could never be deceived by that. Don't be too sure, friends. We have known those who had present truth and apparently were quite clear in the truth. And they went over to Christian Science. And we endeavored to help them back, and there wasn't any help. You couldn't do anything because they couldn't see the difference. They said, well, Christian Science is just the same as the truth. I don't know why they wanted to change them. It was a deception, you see. That was this spiritual pestilence that's referred to here. And some of these pestilences come quite close to us, friends. Yes. Some of us tell us that we should be quite liberal. You shouldn't have any standards. We're all brothers. We just all meet together and on a common ground. What's the common ground? Well, the common ground is that we love one another, and that's about all there is to it. You know, our Christian Science friends, they make a God of love. That's right. Oh, but someone says, don't they believe in God? No, they do not. They don't believe in a personal God. They only believe in a principle of good. They say good is God, you see. So they believe in that principle. Well, now the Lord promised to protect us from that. But remember, the reason that he promised to protect us from that is because we're dwelling in the secret place. Our first verse said that. And If we continue to live there and to dwell there, then we'll be protected. But if we get out from under that protection, we're gone. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. First, how does he cover us with the wings? Well, this is a picture, one that most of us are acquainted with. The mother hen, you remember, as the chicks all run under for protection from the elements. And they can feel the warmth of the body of the mother hen under the feathers here. And so it is with the Lord's true people. They draw so close to their Heavenly Father that they can even feel the warmth of His love. That's right, friends. Do you feel the warmth of the love that the Heavenly Father has for you as one of His children? Beautiful symbol. We feel the warmth of that love in our lives. Then, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Yes, dear friends, this wonderful divine plan of the ages will be our shield and buckler. Well, someone says, what's the matter that some are falling by the wayside on this side, others on the other side? Well, they've thrown away the shield. They no longer believe the truth. The truth is the wonderful divine plan of the ages. No wonder that they're in difficulty. Yes. The truth is so necessary. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And that truth is the truth of the wonderful divine plan of the ages. And don't let anybody take that away from you. We have noted that some today, not yesterday, but today, are telling us that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in God. And these, you would think that they had figured the whole truth out for themselves. But they haven't, because you ask the same ones that have progressed now beyond the divine plan, they have something superior, they claim. Don't be deceived, friends. Where did you get the truth? Let's not be like the prophet prophesied of certain ones, that they were like the ox and the ass, didn't know who their master was and where the crib was. Do we know where we received the truth and who we received it from? If we do, let us remember that we didn't figure out it for ourselves, and that we're in dangerous ground if we think that we're progressing on and we have more today, because we believe that the harvest message is the message that will be right down to the end of the age. Well, someone says, but don't you think that living as we are today, that we have more light than they had in the beginning of the harvest message? Well, it might be true in connection with certain prophecies that have been fulfilled. We might see that a little clearer. But so far as the fundamental doctrines are concerned, they're the same today. Yes, we have the truth along the lines of the fundamental doctrines, and that came with the harvest message. So I'm very careful that we don't develop on beyond, because usually this new light that so many are talking about is old darkness under a new dress. That's right, it's old darkness under a new dress. Then going on, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What is this terror by night? The terror by night is this great time of trouble that we see coming on the earth. Are we fearful of the time of trouble that's coming on the earth? Not if we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. But if we've taken ourselves out, then indeed, we should be fearful and will be fearful. Well, what about the arrow that flieth by day? Well, we would liken the arrow that flieth by day to the conditions as we have them now. Yes, this arrow that flieth by day is the bitter words, the bitter persecution that we as the Lord's people still have to bear. We won't be afraid of that either. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Yes, we shall, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. What is this pestilence that walketh in darkness? Well, it's going over this point that we mentioned before. It's these pestilent beliefs, such as Christian Science and Theosophy and Moonsault and so forth. And then what about the destruction that wasteth at noonday? Well, so far as the truth is concerned, we're living under the blazing light of the sun of noonday. So wonderful is the light that we have at the present time. But some are losing this light, and when they lose this light, then it's referred to here as the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now, why aren't we afraid of that? Again, back to the first verse. Because we're in the secret place of the Most High. That's why we don't have to. Because God has promised to protect us from all these things, providing, as another psalm puts it, we continue to dwell in His provision. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Have you seen the thousand falling at your side? Yes. We believe that during this harvest period, during the day of Brother Russell, there were thousands that were falling at the side. But that was nothing compared to later on. So as it says here, 1,000 fell at the side. But you see, they always had Brother Russell to kind of stabilize them. So many didn't fall. Some fell. But what happened when that servant was taken away? 10,000 men at our right hand fell. Yes, just the very ones that we would have supposed that would be the Lord of the Lord's people, the leaders amongst the Lord's people. What happened? Why, they were jealous of one another, and they commenced to quibble. Who's going to take Brother Russell's place? Who's going to do this and that? And then 10,000 fell at our right hand. That's right. Just the ones that you wouldn't expect. In other words, if anybody got in the kingdom, you thought they'd get in the kingdom. But it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because thou hast made the Most High thy refuge. That's why it will not come nigh thee. Man, I love the next expression here. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Isn't that wonderful? We see it all around us, but it doesn't come near us. Talk about the providential overruling of the Lord. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. That's the reason. So as we see conditions as they are in the world today, does it shake our faith? Why, no, it increases our faith because the very things that this psalm had prophesied are happening all around us. And we're having the experience here that only with our eyes are the beholding and seeing the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. No wonder the heading of the psalm says the happy state of the godly. Then it says, no evil shall befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. These plagues that's referred to here are the ones that we were discussing before. No. None of the plagues shall come nigh our dwelling. Where is our dwelling again? In the secret place of the Most High. Let's always bear that in mind, that the emphasis here is on account of the place where we dwell, and then go back to the thought, where do we dwell? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the protection of the Lord that he has provided for his people. Is the secret place the Most High, typified again, as we said before, by the holy. And the holy, translated, would be the place of entire consecration to God and communion with him and his protection over us as a result of that. So can we not see then why first God, it must be first in all things. And then coming back again to this thought of the truth. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. See, he tells us what a shield is. But we must continue to abide there, and abiding there, then we have the truth, and we're living the truth, and having the truth, and living the truth, then we're protected from all of this pestilence, these plagues that's going throughout the land, that is attacking the Lord's people from all sides. For he shall give his angels a charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Who are the angels? Well, now there are several thoughts could be taken from this psalm. We all know that there are angels which are spirit beings. But after all, in the scriptures, the word angel means a messenger. And there are human messengers as well as spiritual messengers. So he'll give his angels charge over thee. While we recognize that each one of us has a guardian angel, but we're not going to discuss that so much this morning as the human angels. Those that have a message and are represented, we believe, by the thought, you know, on one occasion it refers to the elders in the church or the teachers in the church as being angels because they have a message. They have a message to deliver. So he says here, he will give his angels his charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now these angels include not only the elders in the class and teachers, but also, I would say, what's been our great teacher? Someone says, Brother Russell, that's true. He's been a great teacher. He is of the law. But what has he left us? He's left us the watchtower and the 6 volumes of studies in the scriptures. And these, we believe, since their messages are included in this thought, that he shall give his angels charge over thee. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now this is the scripture that Satan attempted to interpret, you remember? Time. When he was tempting our Lord, he attempted to use this scripture to get our Lord to jump from the pinnacle of the temple. You see, in the first temptation, our Lord had said, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Satan's going to match him now, and the second he comes back to him, and he says, well, it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. He says, you just jump off of the temple, and these angels will just, you won't get hurt at all. What did our Lord say? He come back with another scripture and showed that Satan's interpretation of this scripture wasn't right. So don't never think, friends, that Satan can't use the scripture, because he can, and he often does use the scripture to lead us out of the truth, just as he attempted to do with our Lord. Remember, we're following the Lord, we're following his footsteps, and Satan will try the same things on us that he tried on our Lord. What will our Lord say when he said that? He says, it is written. See, here's the word again. It is written. Yes, he constantly calls attention. It is written. Do we do that? That's what we should do. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt. Our Lord recognized to do that would be tempting the providence of God over him, and that wouldn't be the proper thing to do. So we see how necessary it is that we have an understanding of the Word, and that we be able to use these. If we don't know about these things, how could we use them in our protection? And this shows, you see, how necessary it is that we use the Word. Our Lord used it, and we'll need to use it if we get into the kingdom. Don't let anyone think that they'll get into the kingdom without using, because they'll have tussles with Satan. We're none of us can expect to get in the kingdom any more than our Lord did without being tempted by Satan. Then going on, thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Who is the lion that we're going to tread upon? Well, I think it's Peter that tells us about this lion, doesn't he? Says, Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, we say we're going to walk right on him. That's what this says. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. Yes, this means if he comes at us as a roaring lion, seeking to devour us, that we'll be able to overcome that. We'll walk right over him. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Now, if I said that, it wouldn't mean very much. But remember, this is the Lord. It's making this statement. Have you walked over Satan? The lion, when he come at you as a roaring lion, attempting to devour you? Well, the psalm here says that if we're dwelling in the secret place, well, then we will tread upon the lion. Then, it says the adder and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. What about the adder? Well, the adder is the serpent. So often, Satan comes to us stealthily, like the serpent. Again, we are able to overcome him. Why? Because we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and because our shield and our buckler is the truth. You see, we need these things. We need the truth. We can't get along without the truth, because it's our shield and buckler. Then the young lion and the dragon. Well, the young lion, of course, wouldn't be like the boisterous, the roaring lion. Probably wouldn't be such a a temptation, but nevertheless, the serpent, as we said, would represent stealthily, and the young lion would be, maybe would wonder, is that from the devil or is it from the Lord? The young lion, when they're young, well, they're just like kittens, and they play like a kitten does. And so we might be undecided. No, not if we're living the truth. We won't be deceived, even though it appears to be harmless, and it would make a nice pet. You know, I often think that when we see the young lions play together, you think, well, that would make a nice pet. No, we won't be deceived by the appearance as if it might be good. We will know. Why? Because His truth is our shield and buckler, and we know what we believe, why we believe it, and can give a reason for the hope within us. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? Don't let anyone tell you that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you continue to love God. You don't have to know anything about what you believe. That's a deception, friend. It does matter what you believe. It matters a great deal. And further than that, of course, you might believe and then not live in harmony with what you believe. That wouldn't do you any good either. But you must know what you believe and why you believe it before you know what to do. That's right. Now, why is it that the young lion and the dragon, what about the dragon that shalt thou trample underfoot? Well, dear friends, the dragon, as we find in Revelation, the 12th chapter, the red dragon is brought to our attention there. And what is the dragon? Well, in that instance, it's the civil power that is ruled by Satan. It's a civil power that's ruled by Satan. And remember that this original dragon, which we believe represented pagan Rome, gave its power and its authority to the other wild beast, the papacy. So we're going to trample a dragon underfoot. Yeah, as long as we have the truth as our shield and buckler. We know who the dragon is. We know how he acts. We know what he believes, what he teaches. We will not be deceived. Are the Lord's people deceived by what the papacy has been teaching? No, they are the only people in the world that know the falsity of the teaching. So no wonder even the dragon's mentioned. Now, why is all of this? Next verse again gives us some more reasons why this is so. Because he has set his love upon me. Have you set your love upon the Lord? Do you love him more than you love your life? That's right. Oh, someone says, should we love him more than we love our life? Indeed, we should. Didn't we consecrate to do his will unto death? That's right. So we should love him more than we do our life. And we do, if we made that consecration and are carrying it out. Says, therefore, I will deliver him. He'll deliver us from all these things that we've been talking about. Do you believe that? Remember, behind all of this is our faith in God. And He'll try us along all of these ways to see if we've simply said that we believe these things or whether we actually believe them. It's one thing to say, I believe, and it's another thing to live that belief. Then he goes on and says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. How high is he going to set us? He's going to set us far above angels, principalities, and powers, and every name that has a name. That's right. You believe that? Do you think of that? Or have you got the state which some are in which they say, I don't think it's good to think about the promises. We ought to serve God because we love him and never mind about the promises. That's one of the, that's the snake coming to you, trying to get you to get your eyes off the prize. That's a deception, friends. What does the Apostle Peter say? In 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, that is, these promises, ye might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's right. Apostle Peter says it's through the promises, so don't let anybody deceive you and tell you you shouldn't look at the promises, that you ought to do these things because you're such good fellows. No. We need these promises. We need them for our encouragement. The Lord knew it. That's why he put them there. He didn't put all of those things in the Bible just to make a big book. But he put them there for our use. Let's use them. Let's not be deceived by Satan, because he's after it. Then it says, this is because we've known his name. What's the thought of a name? Well, in the Old Testament, names usually were supposed to represent something about the person. And in this instance, because he has known my name, would indicate that we have become acquainted with the Heavenly Father's character. Yes, we now recognize that he's not a tormented God like we once thought, but instead that he's a loving Heavenly Father, whose will it is that none should perish. But nevertheless, those who will not turn, those who will not seek the good, those who will continue to walk evil, he has the fortitude to destroy them. You see, as I told you before, Satan, once he gets us to see that we know something about the love of God, then he tries to overwhelm us to the other side. And he says, yes, God's such a loving God, he saves everybody. But no, when we know God and we know his character, we know then that he will have the fortitude by those who are wicked and are inseparable from it. Because they would not be a blessing to themselves, and they would be a blot throughout the eternal ages to the plan and purpose of God. Then going on, he says, he shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him. Did you notice that we're going to have trouble? What it says, I will be with him in trouble. All the Lord's people have trouble. And if you're not having any trouble, I would go to the Lord and find out what's wrong. Because the trouble is necessary. But the whole world of mankind has trouble. Well, then you say, what's the difference between the Lord's people and the world of mankind? Well, the difference is the Lord's people haven't anywhere to go. I shouldn't say the Lord's people, the world. But we have the promise of the Lord that he will be with us in that trouble, and he will deliver us. Yes, I will deliver him and honor him. Yes, he'll honor us in that we're to have the same nature as he himself possesses. Now, if we read that in a fairy book, we would think it was wonderful. But that isn't a fairy tale. That's the truth. That we've been called to the highest state possible for anyone to have. Then, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How long of a life? Eternal life. You remember Jesus said that some thought, and they thought right, that to know God and to know him aright was eternal life. It is true. And so, we will have eternal life. Yes, we'll have the divine nature. We'll have the same nature as God. And if faithful, we'll dwell with Him and be His children forever and ever. Be the Lord.
Let me thank Brother Fowler for his explanation of the 91st Psalm, and notice that he explained everything that was there, and he got finished with it, too. Sometimes the speaker starts off, and he explains so much about the first few verses, he doesn't get through. We have love and greetings from the Wichita Falls, Texas Convention, and from Saginaw, Michigan Convention, and I don't have official word, but I'm sure that those who were at Brooklyn, must have love and greetings for us from there, as well as those from Cincinnati, and of course, Brother Fowler mentioned Minneapolis. Let us use hymn number 294 in closing. 294.
Come to thee at the close of this service. It is indeed with grateful hearts. We thank thee for these wonderful words of life, for this encouragement along the narrow way, and we ask that we might continue to think upon these things, that they might help us. We also would ask thy blessing on the further service of this day. All this we ask in the Master's dear name. Amen.